All right. Well, Shabbat Shalom, everybody. We're here. Day 28, if y'all counting. Oh, so we're moving along in this thing. That's a great time to be alive, I tell you. Watch everything that's happening around the world. Man, just all the wars and rumors of wars that Yeshua told us about, and we should definitely be paying attention to. So, anyway, we're going to get started here. In Toldot. So I'm going to read it through and I'm going to go back and touch on it because I just got a few more high points to touch on. And I think it's going to be very important, especially when I get to this one particular subject. So let me go ahead and read it all. And in Genesis 25:19, and this is the genealogy of Yitzhak, Abraham's son. Abraham brought forth Yitzhak. And Yitzhak was 40 years old when he took Rivka as wife, the daughter of Bethuel the Aramean of Padan Aram, the sister of Laban the Aramean. Hey, brother, turn me down just a hair. Oh. Okay. All right. Well, maybe that, a little better. And Yitzhak prayed to Yehovah for his wife because she was barren. And Yehovah answered his prayer, and Rivka his wife conceived. And within her the children struggled together, and she said, if all is right, why am I this way? So she went to ask Yehovah. And Yehovah said to her, two nations are in your womb, and two peoples shall be separated from your body. And the one people shall be stronger than the other, and the older serve the younger. And when the days were filled for her to give birth, and seed twins were in her womb, and the first came out red all over, like a hairy garment, so they called his name Esau. And afterward his brother came out, with his hand holding on to Esau's heel, so his name was called Yaakov. And Yitzhak was 60 years old when she bore them. Yeah. And the boys grew up, and Esau became a man knowing how to hunt, a man of the field, while Yaakov was a complete man dwelling in tents. And Yitzhak loved Esau because he ate of his wild game. But Rivka loved Yaakov. And we see that so many times and time today. One favors one parent, one favors the other parent. So that's like, that shouldn't be strange to us. And Yaakov cooked a stew, and Esau came in from the field, and he was weary. And Esau said to Yaakov, please feed me with that same red stew, for I am weary. That is why his name was called Edom. But Yaakov said, sell me your birthright today. And Esau said, look, I'm going to die, so why should I have birthright? And Yaakov said, swear to me today. And he swore to him and sold his birthright to Yaakov. Yaakov then gave Esau bread and stew of lentils, and he ate and drank and rose up and left. Thus Esau despised his birthright. How many of you know that, like Paul Harvey said, that's a little more behind the scenes. We got to look at it because we don't get the full picture of really what's going on. So, look, it took some time to kind of throw this together. But if you just read it like that, you know, and a lot of time people, we just read over it. And I'm so glad we're slowing down. I know we mentioned it before. And we're taking our time. We're looking at all the words. And these extra biblical writings that we can go back and look to for confirmation to see what's really going on. So, let's go to, we'll start at verse 26. Because a lot of that stuff we covered already about the older serving the younger and why she's struggling and because she was barren. We looked at these things. Yitzhak was 40 years old. So we do have confirmation on that. And two nations were in a womb, like I said last week. There's still fighting going on today. Nations are still fighting against each other. Brother against brother. And the twins, we covered the twins. And the first came out red all over, like a hammered garment. So they called his name Esau. Let me cover Esau's name. And afterward, his brother came out with his hand holding onto Esau's heel. So his name was called Yaakov, and Yitzhak was 60 years old when she bore them. Now that heel is looked at in two words. It's H6119, which is the word Akav, which is used as a masculine noun, but it's also as an adjective which describes the noun Akav also. It goes to the root word Akav, and it's an action word, it's a verb, to supplant, circumvent, take by the heel, follow at the heel, assail insidiously, overreach, overreacher, supplanter. Now, some of these definitions I didn't know, because I had to look at what does assail insidiously mean? It means to really attack. And you can look at it, it also attacked violently. But we don't see that in Yaakov. What we see the attack was, which you got to go, when you take our time, you read slow, what he was attacking was the birthright. And we're going to explain that in just a moment, but I don't want to jump too fast. A supplanter. That's another important one we're going to look at. And in Bereshit 3:15, the first time we see that word about the heel is in Bereshit 3:15. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. And it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Heel is H6119, a cave. So you see that this never just started right here. This started since the beginning. This is what brings you back. That's what I love about the Hebrew language, the Torah portion that we're going through. It always brings you back to the beginning. As the first time mentioned about the heel. And what we know that Yehovah does, he divides, he elects, and he separates. And that's just that, and we have to be okay with that. And that's, look, we don't override his laws. We might try to add our 2 cents. We see that people try to help Yehovah, but it don't work. He don't need our help. He needs our obedience. And afterward, his brother came out with his hand holding on to Esau's heel. So his name was called Yaakov. And Yitzhak was 60 years old when she bore them. And the boys grew. And that's all you read about right here. The boys grew. And Esau became a man knowing how to hunt, a man of the field, while Yaakov was a complete man dwelling in tents. Now the complete, or the word plain, which they have in the King James Version, is H8535. It's Tom. Tom means to be perfect, complete, one who lacks nothing in physical strength, beauty, etc. Sound, wholesome, and ordinary, quiet, a quiet sort of person, complete, morally innocent, having integrity, one who is morally and ethically pure. That don't mean he's a mama's boy. Yaakov was a man. Just because he dwells in tents, don't make him a mama's boy, or because he's not a hunter like his brother. And we see that. And we see in the tent represents he's learning. He's in a place of learning. And we're going to look at that. Tom, which led to a root word, Tamam, H8552, to be complete, be finished, be at an end, to be at an end. And we know that this is a type of shadow of Yeshua. That's what I'm reading this, of his life being complete, which eventually came to an end. For what? For doing right? For speaking the truth? For people that, I mean, he come against religion. I got a chance to share, I was talking with Brother Chad earlier today, but I got a chance to share with a guy this morning, because he talked, you know, he's always throwing something at me. He's always throwing about, you know, what about your religion? I said, well, it's not about our religion. He said, well, I said, we got, what religion knows is Jesus. I said, we all got one Savior of the world, but yet nobody wants to obey. I said, it's not about religion. It's the choice that you make in life. Whether you want to obey his rules, his laws, or not. I said, it don't matter what religion you come from. You can come from Catholic, Baptist, Pentecost. It doesn't matter. It's about your obedience to him. And what you choose, and what, because the subject got on food. And I said, I choose not to. Not because I don't like it. Flesh loves it. But I choose not to. I'd rather obey. And he can, when I stand before him, or whatever the case may be, when that time comes, I want to hear well done. I don't want to hear depart. Because I didn't obey his law. I didn't obey his commands. So we see this in the life of Yitzhak. And we're going to see that, because later on I'm going to go to the book of Jasher and just read a few highlights in there. And I'm going to point out, because at one time, let me just hold up. Boy, I want to go. I want to open up straight there, but there's some few things we had to cover here. Because that's just some stuff that's, I find that's some little hidden gems in chapter 26 through 30 in the book of Jasher. So if you never read it, pick it up, spend a little time with it. I mean, look, I don't know how all true it is, but you'll see where it compares to the scripture. You know that's the truth, because it backs up the same things. So the boys grew, and we see that about Yeshua. There's a certain time that we don't hear about that the boys grew, that Yeshua grew, and that's all we know about it. And Yaakov and Yitzhak loved Esau because he ate of his wild game, but Rivka loved Yaakov. And Yaakov cooked a stew, and Esau came in from the field, and he was weary. Now we just don't seem, because we just read it and that's all we get out of it. So we have to dig deeper in there. So when you go to the in the King James, they have the word, and Yaakov sod pottage, and Esau came in from the field, and he ate, and he was faint. Now I thought that was odd that you put sod pottage. Who uses that language? I don't even know what sod pottage is. I mean, I don't know. This sounds like almost like foreign language. So, of course, I got to look it up. Sod is H2102, or it could be used as the word zed. To boil up, seed, act proudly, act presumptuously, act rebelliously, be presumptuous, be arrogant, be rebellious, proud, etc. The list goes on. So I thought that was a little odd that they put sod pottage in there, because I don't get that when I read that. Can we just leave it at cook the stew? But it goes to the root word when you pull up the word pottage. It's 5138, and it's mazid. It comes from the one I just mentioned, from sod, from H2102. It's H5138, mazid. Boiled food, soup, pottage, things sodden or boiled. So obviously that what he's cooking right here, and it is truly lentils that are traditionally a mourner's meal. Because why? Abraham has just died. And we're going to look at that here in just a moment. So we have to see, why is he coming in just on this particular time that he's coming in? Why is he so weary? And Esau said to Yaakov, please feed me with that same red stew, for I am weary. This is why his name was called Edom, because Edom is red. It's H123. The word red is Adom. Red, ruddy, of man, horse, heifer, garment, water, lentils. We know that Esau was very red when he come out. He was hairy, like an animal. And we know he acted like, because all he wanted to do was hunt in the field. He was constantly in the field. And we're going to get to that. Also, red is H119 Adam, to be red. And you can go look at the definitions. That's more than just, I don't write them all down. I just try to give you a picture of where we're going with that. This is what it is. And he says, okay, please feed me with that same red stew, for I am weary. This is why his name is called Edom. Now, this is where I think it was Monday morning. I got up early Monday morning, and I had a little quiet time before the wife gets up. And And I was acting, you know, because I was going to start off with the book of Jasher and just pull out some highlights. But I asked, yeah, what do you want? Can you teach, want me to teach for the people to say? Because obviously I don't want to just say my own words. I want to look at what your words say to teach. So this was something that was very interesting. It became a nugget to me because it reminded me of my past, of what I come from, what I come out of, and the reason why I'm here today. Please feed me. I don't know if anybody looked at that. Maybe pastor has. That's why I say this was a nugget for me. In verse 30, the word is la'at. Feed is H39:38, to swallow greedy or devour. And I thought that was very interesting because we know that Yaakov, that Esau comes in here. He don't care about his birthright. All he knows, he's hungry. He's got a satisfied flesh, and this is what he wants. He probably licked that stuff up so fast, forgot what it even tasted like. I know, because sometimes we act like animals. I do. Sometimes when I'm hungry, my wife, that's why I love a spoon, because a fork just don't work for me. It sounds funny. It does. But sometimes I get like that. After a hard day's work, you sit down, a little plate of food, you fly through it so fast. I mean, that's just the way it is sometimes. But in this case, there's more behind the scene. But this feed me, it's this swallow greedily, devour. And I thought about that. How it just, it reminded me, you know, how we should, I take it sometimes as a negative. But that's the whole time I look at it as a positive, because when we're here, we should devour the word that's being brought forward. But this is not the case. The case has to do with his birthright, how he despised it. So I thought about that. I said, you know what? It reminds me of a story that John, and we're going to come back to this. But let's look at something else here in the book of John, chapter 21. Let's start at verse 15. We know the story well, but let's see something else here about this feed. When therefore they had eaten breakfast, Yeshua said to Shimon Kepha, Shimon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these? What a question from your master. One who you've been walking with for the past couple years since he picked him. Side by side him, who fed him, who loved him. And we know what happened with what Shimon Kepha done to him, how he betrayed him. And let me tell you, betrayal is very hard. Do you love me more than these? He said to him, yes, master, you know that I love you. He said to him, feed my lambs. Very interesting. It's G1006. I'm going to give you the definition in just a moment. He said to him again the second time, Shimon, son of Jonah. Why is he acting the second time? He heard him the first time. But he's testing him. And I believe he's really testing us, and testing the hour and time and days in which he's really going to test you tonight. How much do you love him? Do you love me? He says, Shimon, son of Jonah, do you love me? The second time. He says to him, yes, master, you know that I love you. He said to him, shepherd my sheep. You have a job to do. I got to make sure. Yeshua just making sure, are you with me? Like you say you are. Do you love me more than these? He said to him the third time, Shimon, son of Jonah, do you love me? Kepha was sad. Because he said to him the third time, do you love me? And he said to him, master, you know all. You know that I love you. Yeshua said to him, feed my sheep. Very important. Now let me give you the definition of that. It's called Bosco. Very interesting. It's the Greek word Bosco. I said, what if I stumbled across here? I don't know if y'all know any box schools in here tonight. I know one. I've heard it, one. What really captured me was the definition of it. To feed, portraying the duty of a Christian teacher to promote in every way the spiritual welfare of the members of the church. Let me tell you something. 10 years ago, I sat here at a funeral. You didn't come looking for me. Y'all knew I was going to be here that day. And he preached a message about life and death. And since then, I've never been the same. It's been life-changing. Because he's been here how long? How long have you been here, Pastor? 40 years? 40 to 40 years. If I never told you, I want to tell you one more time, thank you. Thank you. Because I needed to hear that message. And thankful for his wife, Rivka, with him all these years. Because it hasn't been easy. I'm sure you watch him come and go. So when I come across that word Bosco, my mind went straight here. And y'all reminded me that morning about this when I read the definition, how I needed that. Because it's been life-changing ever since. It was first mentioned in the Hebrew in Bereshit 29:7. We'll read it. But the Hebrew word is ra'ah, to pasture, to tend, graze, feed, to shepherd, etc. The list goes on. It was too much for me to write. Y'all just wanted me that moment to sit there and remember where you come from. This is why we're reading about the genealogy of Yitzhak. It reminds you of where you come from. And that's been life changing. That's why I told him the other night, boy, I got something. I found a great nugget, but I'm going to save it for Friday. And I wanted to share it with everyone how much it meant to me. Yeah. I don't know. I've only heard one person who really called that. It's been his mama. Mm-hmm. And I'm so thankful that I found that little nugget right here in the scripture. So when you're going to see it come across that word, feed me, you'll never forget it. In Genesis 29, in verse 7, and he said, see, it is still high day, not time for the livestock to be gathered together. Water the sheep and go and feed them. Now, we never got to 29 yet. We're getting there in our next door portion. But we're going to see this come up again. But sometimes, when y'all want, look, that excited me when I got to that. It really did. I never did see that before. Sometimes when you sit there and y'all just want you to teach you something and you're willing to learn, it's just amazing, I tell you. And he's been good to us, been good to me. He says, I know the plans I have for you. I didn't know this plan that, look, when I was out there doing my thing, and after that day, let me tell you, it's been life-changing. I've lost loved ones, but I've gained loved ones. I've lost family, but I gained family. He's never left me or forsaken, even though in my most craziest times. But sometimes it takes death to get your mind right. And I thought about that today when I was going over that today again, looking at that word Bosco. I thought about that. If it's my debt to bring my children in, then so be it. Because I want to see them there. I want your children to come in. And if that's what it takes, then hey, my life is in his hands. Because that's what we're here for. Man, this was so amazing. Which goes to a root word, bibrisco. It means to eat. G 977, to eat. When we come here, we should be ready to eat. Which led to another root word, barus. G 1016, an ox or a cow. Two clean animals. Look, when you come in here to feed, graze like you a cow. Graze like you an ox. Because that's what they do. They use for other things, but they graze. They're always constantly chewing. Why? Chewing on the word. That's what the shin represents. The teeth kind of constantly chew. And when you got nothing else to chew, you chew the cud. There you go. So you constantly should be feeding. The cud represents you constantly should be feeding on the word. That should not be a time we shouldn't be lacking. If we say we don't have nothing to read. Oh, I read that already. Read it again. So we got plenty of information to read. We just have to be disciplined enough to want to read it. We have to overcome our flesh. Because trust me, the flesh don't want to wake up at 4 o'clock in the morning, at 3:30 in the morning, at 2:30, whatever time you get up to want to read, to want to study, to want to pray. It doesn't. I'm going to tell you, my wife can testify, I struggled all week to try to get up. The time I get up, I sit on the edge of the bed, I take my phone and wait another half hour, and I lay back down. And I lay down and I say, I can't do this, I got to get up. I did that all week. Because, because y'all wants to teach you something. Discipline. You have to. Please feed me with that same red stew, for I am weary. That's why his name was called Edom. But Yaakov said, sell me your birthright today. Now we're going to get to that also. And Yaakov and Esau said, look, I'm going to die. Why should I have birthright? And Yaakov said, swear to me today. And he swore to him and sold his birthright to Yaakov. How do you know that? That was all in Yah's plan. It might look like that Yaakov, this is what that, when he says swear to me, is after that birthright, this is what that Asil, what I said it was? Asil indignantly. Insidiously. A seal insidiously. That's what that is. He's attacking the heel. He's attacking because he's a supplanter. Because he's attacking the heel. Because he knows that Yah's got this birthright built because it's being passed on to him. That's why you see that where he says, swear to me. So we're gonna look at that. And he said, and he swore to him and sold his birthright. Yaakov then gave Esau bread and stew of lentils. And he ate and drank and rose up and left. Thus Esau despised his birthright. Now, he gave little thought. You know what I mean? You're the firstborn. You got all these rights. But yet you passed over, you're a sellout. And this is what he did. This is why Yehovah, when you read about it, he hated Esau because of this act. Because of what he done. Sold out for what? For nothing. Who else sold out like that for nothing? Judas. 30 pieces of silver. So that's what we do. We just come here to kiss him on the cheek. We have to think about these things. These are where these stories go. When you want to sit down and learn, this is where these stories take you. Now, let's go. I don't know if any of y'all have the book of Jasher. Let's look at a few things in there. Like to point out. In the book of Jasher, in chapter 26, in verse 29, it took me a little while to catch that because I had to go back and forth. I didn't know, according to the book of Jasher and the Talmud, that Abraham is still alive when the kids are born. So I Googled it just to make sure you see where it lead me. And they back it up, and you know, when you Google this information, and it said that he was about 15 when the boys, he got to see his great-grandchildren from Yaakov. And they were about 15 when he died. So let me read it to you. And in verse 29, and it was at the time that Abraham died, in the 15th year of the life of Jacob and Esau, the sons of Isaac, and all the days of Abraham were 175 years, and he died and was gathered to his people in good old age, old and satisfied with days, and Isaac and Ishmael his son buried him. That's confirmation, because we read that. lentils. We look at the lentils, because it's still talking right here, it goes, inhabitants of Canaan. So I'm going to skip over that. I'm going to go to chapter 27, because this is where the story really takes off, in Joshua 27. And Esau at the time, after the death of Abraham, frequently went into the field to hunt. There we go. And Nimrod, king of Babel, the same was Amraphel, also frequently went in with his mighty men to hunt in the field and to walk about with his men in the cool of the day. And Nimrod was observing Esau all the days, for a jealousy was formed in the heart of Nimrod against Esau all the days. And on a certain day, that day we just read about in Scripture, Esau went in the field to hunt, and he found Nimrod walking in the wilderness with his two men. And all his mighty men and his people were with him in the wilderness, but they removed at a distance from him, and he went from him in different directions to hunt. And Esau concealed himself from Nimrod. Remember, we talked about that last week. And he lurked for him in the wilderness. And Nimrod and his men were with him, did not know him. And Nimrod and his men frequently walked about in the field at the cool of the day to know where his men were hunting in the field. And Nimrod and two of his men that were with him came to the place where they were when Esau started suddenly from his lurking place. Just like the enemy that goes around. And drew his sword and hastened and ran to Nimrod and cut off his head. And Esau fought desperately. And Esau fought a desperate fight with the two men that were with Nimrod. And when they called out to him, Esau turned to them and smote them to death with his sword. I tell you what. Esau was no slouch. And the mighty men of Nimrod who had left him to go to the wilderness heard the cry at a distance. And they knew the voices of those two men. And they ran to know the cause of it. When they found their king and the two men that were with him lying dead in the wilderness. And when Esau saw the mighty men of Nimrod coming at a distance, he fled. And thereby escaped. And took the valuable garments of Nimrod, which Nimrod's father had bequeathed to Nimrod, and with which Nimrod prevailed over the whole land. And he ran and concealed them in his house. Now these garments were supposed to be the garments that Adam and Eve wore. So you can wonder why when he put these garments on, he became a mighty hunter. We learned about a little bit about Nimrod. And Esau took those garments and ran into the city on account of Nimrod's men. And he came unto his father's house wearied and exhausted from fight. And he was ready to die through grief when he approached his brother Jacob and sat before him. I just give you a little different picture of the story whenever you read it, compared it in the Scriptures, Bible, or the King James, whatever you use. I'm glad for this extra biblical text that you can just... You can see now why he's on this certain day, he's weary and exhausted coming in from a hunt. Now, I've hunted several times over my few years. And I've never been that weary and exhausted from coming in from hunting. But if you've just been in a fight with two guys, you kill one, you snuck up and you killed one, and you had to fight two on with a sword back, I would be a little tired too. He's not close to home, running from his life. And I don't know how the weather was like. It could have been a hot day or something. I don't know what the weather was like. I didn't even think about looking on that. But still, if it was a day like today, it was a little warm out there. If you were outside, it was a little warm today, even though we had a nice breeze. And he said to his brother Jacob, "Behold, I shall die this day. And wherefore then I do want the birthright?" Now he throws out the question to Jacob. Well, but when you don't read it, when you read the Scripture in the Bible, he said that it looked like Jacob was attacking him, asking for the birthright. But is he he's already giving it up. He's a sellout. And Jacob acted wisely. It's not sod. I never got sod ready. He acted wisely with Esau in this manner. And Esau sold his birthright to Jacob, for it was so brought about by the Lord, by Yehovah. All in Yah's plan that this would happen. And Esau's portion is not only the birthright. Let's see what the birthright consisted of. Because this is very important what he gave up. And Esau's portion in the cave of the field of Machpelah, which Abraham had bought from the children of Heth for the possession of a burial ground. Esau also sold to Jacob, and Jacob bought all this from his brother Esau for value given. I don't know about if he ate twice. I don't know if that was a value, if that was even worth it. There's some things you can't put a price on, especially that comes from your parents. Because at this point, Abraham is dead. Sarah's dead. She's been dead. Abraham just died, however time it was. Because right now, they're a little bit older. They're a little older than 15. But some things you can't put a price on family values. You keep it, and you'll pass on heirlooms. I guess that's the right word, huh? Because you'll pass them on to your children. And just, this is, so how are you going to pass off this, what your dad worked for? This cave that he got with your mom's buried, and gave all this up. And Jacob wrote the whole of this in a book. Now, how true that is, I don't know. I can only go by what we have. But I do like this passage that's written in there. And he testified the same with witnesses, and he sealed it, and the book remained in the hand of Yaakov in Jacob. And when Nimrod, the son of Cush, died, his men lifted him up and brought him into consternation and buried him in his city. And all the days that Nimrod lived were 215 years, and he died. And the days that Nimrod reigned upon the people of the land were 185 years. And Nimrod died by the sword of Esau in shame and contempt. And we're going to read about, because you remember about the blessing? Because he's crying for tears. Father, did you have one more blessing for me? He said, you're going to live by your sword. This is the one thing he told him. And the seed of Abraham caused shame and contempt, and the seed of Abraham caused his death as he had seen in his dream. And at the death of Nimrod, his kingdom became divided into many divisions, and all those parts that Nimrod reigned over were restored to the respective kings of the land, who recovered them after the death of Nimrod. And all the people of the house of Nimrod were for a long time enslaved to all the other kings of the land. So like I say, that's more to the story than what we just read. So now you got something to go back and you can tell, well, you know, when you hear the story come up, let me share some stuff with you. That's a good something to share when you if you're ever in that spot when people want to know. Gives you a little extra to read about or look at. So that was chapter 27. Also, the selling of the birthright. We see this happen. So, but when you flip the script and you go back to the Bible, you think that it makes you seem like Jacob is pushing for the idea. This was all Yah's plan. But he's telling me, sell me your birthright. That's that Asil insidious. Insidiously. That's what that comes, because he's attacking the birthright. Because he's going to be the new rightful owner. And I'm so thankful. You know, because he acted wisely. It said that he acted wisely in this manner. That's something we can learn from that. So as a matter of how I conduct in certain situations that we're in, we have to act wisely. In chapter 28, it starts out with the famine. And Yitzhak and Abimelech. Now we've seen the same story, just play around again, because he says, she's my sister. Of course, we know that when we read to that. And she's my sister. And the same thing plays on with Abraham. And of course, they make a treaty together, because he sees them out there having fun. He said, oh, this is your wife. You pull one over like your daddy did. that probably was said. It's not recorded, but I can imagine. You know, your daddy did me the same thing. You act just like your daddy in this way. Your daddy told me the same thing. And one of us could have took her. He tells him that. This is what this story leads you to. And he said, I was afraid because of her beauty and how she was. She was young. He said, I was afraid for my life. And then, of course, then you go and you see that Yah blesses him out of all that. And he sows in the land. He reaps so much. So they have to make this treaty just like Abraham did. So that's where this story goes. And it's very beautiful. I went ahead and I read all four or five of those chapters, and it's really good. But in verse 18 of chapter 28, at that time, Isaac sent his younger son Jacob to the house of Shem. Wow. And he learned instructions of the Lord. And Jacob remained in the house of Shem and Eber. Eber is Shem's son. For 32 years. And Esau, his brother, did not go, for he was not willing to go. And he remained in his father's house in the land of Canaan. And Esau, verse 19, was continually hunting in the field and bringing home what he could. So did Esau all the days. That's got flesh written all over it. That's why he's like he was. He don't have time. And we've seen that in modern time today. I don't have time. Who's got time for that? Well, that goes to show you. There's examples for us to follow in history that we can go back and look. And we can learn what not to do. Look, when these doors open on Friday night and on Shabbat and on Wednesday, wherever house, or if we come to the church, you should want to be there. I know. We know sometimes on Wednesday you're tired, especially the older folks. We're not the young, us younger ones, we got no excuse. Unless you're really out somewhere that you can't make it, we have no excuse. We go all over, do everything. We should have no excuse. These guys traveled on camels and then walking. And here we are today in four wheels and riding. Ugh. With AC blowing or heater going, whatever time of the year it is, we have no excuses. We should be willing, just like Yaakov, to be there to go learn, because you can learn something when the door is open. There's opportunity. And look, and if you don't make it, we ain't going to throw a stone there. If you don't make it, that's so much stuff you can go look at, but we should want to be there for support for one another. Esau was continually hunting. That's all he wanted to do. Hunt, 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 hunt. He ain't got time for Yah's word. We see that today. How we said that famous statement? Can't handle the truth. Or you don't want to know the truth. Yeah, that's just the bottom line. And Esau was a designing and deceitful man. This is what it says about Esau. Look, I don't want that little dash between my headstone. I don't want that said about me. Designing and deceitful, one who hunted after the hearts of men. He ain't only hunting animals. He's hunting people too. He's a wild man. He's an animal. Hearts of men and invade them. And Esau was a valiant man in the field, and in the course of time went as usual to hunt, and he came as far as the field of Seir, the same as Edom, because Seir is red as Edom. So you can see how all this ties in with your Torah portion. And Esau, their son, let me see, I don't want to read, okay. And Esau there saw in the land of Seir the daughter of a man of Canaan, and her name was Judith, the daughter of Beri, son of Epher, from the family of Heth, the sons of Canaan. Now we get to that, because you remember Rivka made a statement, these daughter-in-laws I got, I can't stand them, because they won't learn, because they have their own mind. They don't want the ways of Jehovah. This is where this comes into play at. So when you go read the script, and you go back to this, you'll see the tie-ins. I'm just going to read it to you tonight. And Esau took her for a wife, and he came unto her. 40 years old was Esau when he took her, and he brought her to Hebron, the land of his father's dwelling place, and he dwelt there. And it came to pass in those days, in the 110th year of the life of Isaac, that is in the 50th year of the life of Jacob, that the year died Shem, the son of Noah. Shem was 600 years old at his death. And when Shem died, Jacob returned to his father to Hebron, which is the land of Canaan. And in the 56th year of the life of Jacob, people came from Haran. And Rebekah was told concerning her brother Laban, the son of Bethuel, for the wife of Laban was barren in those days and bare no children, and also all his handmaids bare none to him. And the Lord afterward remembered Adinah, A-D-I-N-A-H, the wife of Laban, and she conceived and bare twin daughters. And Laban called the name of the daughters, the name of the elder was Leah, and the name of the younger, Rachel, or Raphael, I think it's in the Hebrew. And those people came and told these things to Rebekah, and Rebekah rejoiced greatly that the Lord had visited her brother and that he had got children. Because we know that Jacob's got to go back to his father's grandfather's house and go get him a wife. So Shem dies at 600 years old. Can you imagine? Now chapter 29, we get into the blessing. And in verse 10 of chapter 29 of the book of Jasher, and Esau said, is he not rightly called Jacob or Yaakov? For he has supplanted me twice. Now, I told you we're going to get that word supplanted. That word supplanted is an action word. It's a verb. It's H6117, a cave. And we just had that. To supplant, circumvent, take by the heel, follow at the heel, assail insidiously, overreach. In the paleo, is to hold back. It also, hold back is restraint, as if holding by the heel. So we can see that supplanted. That's why I thought that was very interesting that they use this same word here in the book of Jasher. And circumvent is as if tripping up the heels. Now, I thought about that because when I thought about when we talked about the message about Rivka, about having the fetlock, because if she has a broken fetlock, she can't operate into her full potential. She's not going to be a candidate for Itzhak. She has to be perfect. That's what he's looking for. And I believe that's what Yah is looking for. He's looking for a perfect people to do his will, to be obedient to him. For he has supplanted me twice. He took away my birthright, and now he has taken away my blessing. And Esau wept greatly. And when Isaac heard the voice of his son Esau weeping, Isaac said to Esau, what can I do, my son? Thy brother came with subtlety and took away thy blessing. And Esau hated his brother Jacob on account of the blessing that his father had given him, and his anger was greatly roused against him. And Jacob was very much afraid of his brother Esau, and he rose up and fled to the house of Eber, the son of Shem, and he concealed himself there on the account of his brother. And Jacob was 63 years old when he went forth from the land of Canaan to Hebron. And Jacob was concealed in Eber's house 14 years on account of his brother Esau. And he there continued to learn the ways of the Lord as his commandments. We'll figure that one out. And when Esau saw that Jacob had fled and escaped from him, and that Jacob had cunningly obtained the blessing, that Esau grieved exceedingly. And he was also vexed at his father and mother. And he also arose up and took his wife and went away from his father and mother to the land of Seir. And he dwelt there. And Esau saw there a woman from among the daughters of Heth, whose name was Basmat, the daughter of Elon the Hittite, and he took for her for a wife in addition to his first wife, and Esau called her name Adah, saying, the blessing had in that time passed from him. And Esau dwelt in the land of Seir 6 months without seeing his father and mother. And afterward Esau took his wives and rose up and returned to the land of Canaan. And Esau placed his two wives in his father's house in Hebron. And the wives of Esau vexed and provoked Isaac and Rebekah with their works, for they were not in the ways of the Lord, but served their father's gods of wood and stone as their father had taught them, and they were more wicked than their father. Now we've seen that in scripture before. So these are just some little highlights I wanted to point out to get you to see the path that Esau chose, that how he's not a good role model. We're going to... Also, in verse 43, let me read 42. And at that time, when Esau saw that Isaac had blessed Jacob, and had commanded him, saying, thou shalt not take a wife from amongst the daughter of Canaan, and that the daughter of Canaan were bad in the sight of Isaac and Rebekah, then he went to the house of Ishmael, his uncle, and in addition to his older wives, he took Mahalat, the daughter of Ishmael, the sister of Nebaioth, for a wife. Now you got a man got three wives. And we see that ain't a good thing. Having one is plenty. Three is too much. Because we see an example in Shlomo's life with all the wives he had and what it done to him. How he turned his eyes from Jehovah. Esau was on a bad road. And I'm telling you this. Like I said, you go to chapter 30, and it's getting very interesting because now he's on his way to Laban in chapter 30. Let me just give you a little heads up. He's on his way, and Esau tells his son, Eliphaz, I think his name is, he said, go chase down your uncle. And when you chase him down, you kill him. Take all his stuff and you kill him. You rob him. But Jacob, when he sees them coming, he's like, why is he coming with all these young men coming after him? He said, then they got their swords drawn. He said, what are you here for? He said, we're here to kill you and rob you. My daddy told me to do this. So what he does, he begs for his life. And he says, look, take all the stuff I have. Just like the enemy. He'll take everything you have and leave you poor in the road. But he begs for his life. And that's why we get, when he goes to Laban, and Laban hears another family member's here, he makes a mad dash outside. Come on in, my boy. We don't realize that he's broke. Uh-oh. And now he has to work for his wife. 7 years, and he got fooled. See? Just like he tricked his daddy. Levon tricked him. And then another 7 years, 14 years, and which brings about where we're here today, about our generation of the 12 sons. And I tell you, it's beautiful. It really is. It really is. So, I had a word there, presumptuously. Oh, yeah, I read it. It's presumptuously, I read it earlier, means showing little respect for others by doing things you have no right to do. So some of these words that jump out at you when you go back and you look at them, like, man, this is all in here. And you can see some of these character traits, Yah wants to weed out of us. And the only way he can do that is by showing up, our attendance, our obedience to his word. So that is chapter 25. It's going to come to a close. And of course, chapter 30 is also about the dream that Yaakov has on the way to Haran. So this is a little short tonight, and I expected. But that part that really captured me is what I spoke earlier about Bosco. That was my whole point, my whole highlight tonight. And I needed to hear that. I needed to share that with y'all. And look, if you haven't told y'all pastors thank you, you really should. Because they've been faithful when you were not faithful, when I was not. So I'm thankful for them tonight, standing in the gap all these years. Because let me tell you, had he pulled out, I'd not be here. Position is everything. I heard him say that. That made so much sense to me. Because he had not stayed, I'd more than likely not be here today. Be able to speak the words of Jehovah and look into his word and give thanks that I'm alive today. Because death is real. You know, and look, we've lost loved ones. We lost people along the way. And it's a terrible thing. It really is. But the scripture tells us about that. And we should prepare our hearts and our mind for that day when that time comes. But though you die, the scripture says, yet shall you live. That's amazing. You have a promised hope in him. So I thank y'all tonight for coming out and be able to break bread with y'all and share of y'all's goodness. Look, I don't know if you have any.